Hello and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. In this podcast, we dive deep into the spiritual and esoteric side to the world. I was an atheist for most of my life, and in being an atheist, I cut myself off from source and the magical side to the universe. In reconnecting to my soul, spirit, and purpose, I was able to completely transform my life, and now I want to help you do the same. It's now my mission to help you utilize the spiritual world to cultivate self-love, self-trust, and self-understanding in order to then better navigate this physical world around us. So join me on this journey of insane self-discovery and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome to or welcome back to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today, being here for this conversation. I'm excited for this episode because I didn't even realize that I haven't even really jumped into breath work, and it was such a pivotal part of my awakening journey. So I'm excited to start this conversation and hopefully inspire you to want to include breath work into your daily practice or even just try it. It is seriously one of the most transformative things I have ever done, and it really propelled my spiritual awakening. So in my everyday life, like personally, I actually recommend breath work quite a bit because it's just such a powerful way to get back into your body, clear the mind, and release emotion if we're talking on a spiritual level. But there are tons of physical benefits as well, and that's what we get into in this episode. So the guest on the podcast this week is Leah, and Leah is a mindfulness mentor, breathwork facilitator, and she's the host of the Top 200 Bare Naked Soul podcast. It's really good. I definitely go recommend a listen. Her mission is to teach mindset mastery through mindfulness. Leah began her career as a certified grade A hustler, working long hours, climbing the corporate ladder, and studying her MBA at night. Through achieving 4 promotions in 4 years and having everything that she thought she needed to be happy, she began to learn that getting the next thing wasn't it. And I think that that is so admirable. And this is something that we also dive deep into in the podcast because it's something that we're all programmed to do. Constantly look for the next best thing. This is going to make me happy if I do this, if I achieve this. But it's all about finding happiness internally and finding happiness in your present moment, regardless of what you have, what you don't have, yada, yada, yada. So I won't spoil it. But on Leah's self-development journey, she really found that meditation and mindfulness really gave her that state and that sense of internal happiness. So she became a life coach and soon left her corporate gig to run her business full time. Now she lives her life in flow and teaches you how to do the same thing through coaching, breathwork, and spiritual retreats. It's 11:11 on the clock right now as I film this. I seriously am such a sucker for synchronicities. So it just distracts me every single time I see it. As always, if you enjoyed the episode and you wanted to share your downloads from this conversation, or if you wanted to just reach out to both Leah and I, we are both most active on Instagram. So you can contact us there, totally down to continue the chat all about breathwork and also recommendations and things like that. We can totally do that. So you can find our Instagram handles in the show notes. If you feel inspired to, please share this episode with friends, family, and even maybe on your socials if you feel called to. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, I would love it if you could give the podcast a rate and review on the Apple Podcasts app. I believe you can do it. That would mean the world to me because it really does help the podcast get out there and reach more people. And it's also just positive reinforcement. So I know that you guys are enjoying the content and the weekly episodes. So without further ado, whenever I say that, I think of, I don't know if you guys have heard of Astro Finesse, where he's like, without further diggy do, no, what does he say? Without further diggy do. I don't know. Well, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that would have just been the strangest thing to listen to. So I will stop talking now. I am clearly just blabbing. I hope that you guys enjoy the episode. Hi, Leah, and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get into anything, I would love it if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and explain a little into what it is you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So hello, everyone. My name is Leah Paradis. I am the host of the Bare Naked Soul podcast, a mindfulness mentor, and a breathwork facilitator. And yeah, what do I do? There's like so many things, and I don't know where to start ever. But I think my journey kind of really started when I was working in sales. So I was working in like a pretty high pressure corporate sales job for about 5 years there before leaving to do this full time. And when I first was starting there, I was like just having so much rejection. Like the whole job was being rejected on the phone, in person, just constantly putting yourself out there and hearing no, which led to over 80% of turnover rate for the sales department. Like people were just couldn't handle it. It was hard. And through that, I learned some really important lessons. But one of them was I learned to see everything like as an opportunity for my growth for confidence. And so that's kind of where everything started. And so, yeah, from there, I started a blog. This was like 2.5 years ago. I started a blog and a podcast and then became a life coach. And that has transitioned into now primarily doing breath work and still life coaching. But yeah, that's kind of like where things started and where I'm at now. And right now,
wow.
I just really focus on helping women to develop really like inner confidence where they believe in and love themselves, regardless of outside circumstances. And yeah, that's what I do.
That's incredible. That's so interesting. I do want to dive deeper into that. I'm interested how you made that transition now, but I love hearing the story of like being in a sales job and constantly getting rejected. But looking at that experience and that situation as a growth basically, which is awesome because I was actually in a similar job and where I had to sell a lot. So I can totally relate to that. And it is really hard to get rejected. It's one of the things I struggle with the most, but that's an amazing thing that you've learned there. Before I dive into that, I digress. I'm like jumping all over the place, but I ask all my guests on the Closeted Soul podcast, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
Oh my gosh. I love that question so much. Wow. So I think this is like a common thing, but kind of my like gateway drug to spirituality was the book, The Secret. And so I read that book. I was still working in sales, getting really into mindset. So I was reading like lots of psychology books and mindset books, going to like sales trainings that had to do with mindset. And I stumbled upon the book, The Secret, and, really dove into spirituality and law of attraction. And I started like, I talked about it like on my podcast and in my blog and maybe a little bit on social media, but I was definitely in that spiritual closet for a while. I would say, I mean, it's just like such a journey of coming out of that closet. It's probably been a year, year and a half, but I would say I'm still in a coming out process. I'm still becoming myself more and more and more. And like, being more open in different scenarios, right? Like around family and different friends that I know are going to think it's weird just being myself anyway. So I would say I'm definitely still like breaking into fully who I am spiritually.
This is definitely your debut into the spiritual world then. This podcast is all about the woo. So that's awesome. So let's get back into your story. So you had this 9-to-5, you were working a sales job, you were in corporate, right? And then now you work completely for yourself. doing these retreats, holding breathwork. You're a breathwork facilitator. I can't speak today, obviously, which is amazing. So how did you transition? Like, what happened? What was that point where you were like, okay, you know what? I'm actually going to step into this version of my life that I want to create rather than the conventional 9-to-5?
Yeah, it is. It's so hard. And I feel like it happened very fast and it happened very slow at the same time. So like, 2.5 years ago or so, when I decided to start a blog, the idea randomly came to me. I was like, I'm going to start this blog, just a little side project, no big deal. Well, pretty quickly, I mean, within the first few weeks of having the blog, I'm like researching and I'm realizing, oh, there's a whole world on the internet of people who do this full time. There's coaching and there's this and that, and I can start a podcast and all these things. And I realized, wow, people could do this. And so pretty quickly, within a few months, I was like in a program to become a life coach and had decided like, I'm done with the corporate world. I'm going to do this. Like, I was like, I'm going to go all in. But of course, I kind of thought it was going to be a lot of years later than it was, to be honest. You know, I thought that, you know, because you see a lot of advertisements from people who coach, business coaches, right? And they're like, yeah, you can make, you know, you'll be a six-figure coach in a few months, right? So you see all these things and you're like, oh, this is going to be so easy. So I'm like telling my husband, get ready to quit your job and we're just going to travel the world.
And I totally have been there.
Yeah, right? Like, you get it. So you're, you know, but so it was a longer journey than I anticipated, but like 100% worth it. Learned so much through the process of having to surrender. So I worked my full-time job for about a year while I was building my business, going full hustle into my business. Like, I was just crazy about it. And then I quit my job and I wasn't quite ready, you know, in quotations, because what does that even mean? But I quit my job. I been like, I'm just done. I was like, I am done. I'm like, I talked to God. He told me I'm ready to quit. He's like, are you crazy? But yeah, so then I quit my full-time job and it was terrifying. You know, I had made it pretty far in the corporate world. I had just gotten an MBA, you know, spent a lot of money on that degree. I had all these things, right? I had worked my way up to sales manager and had an office and all these perks and a 401k company match, all the things. But ultimately, I knew I just wanted to break out onto my own. And I could feel that I wasn't in alignment with that job anymore. So that was about a year and a half ago. And it's still been a journey of surrendering ever since, you know, especially that first year of being full time. Just, you know, there's fluctuating income. There's all types of obstacles on that path to freedom, but so worth it. And I learned so much.
I love that. I love that you're even talking about the journey as well, the journey of growth. It's actually something that I've been thinking a lot about. I'm like, why can't we make this journey of growth enjoyable? You know, why do we make it hard? And why is it the stigma that growth, like, you can only be happy once you get the thing? And you just, like you said yourself, you've just been through the process of all of it and you've realized how much and how important, how integral that growth phase actually is. So I'm glad that you're speaking on that.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up the way that we are, I'll be happy once I get the thing. Because that is such a trap that I remember the first time that I remember this happening was when I had to have a brand new car in college. I just had to, right? So I like forced my parents to co-sign for me. Thought my life would be different if I had a brand new car, only to realize I didn't feel any different, right? It didn't change anything. I thought, huh. But then I never internalized it, or I didn't know what it was. So I went through the next, you know, however many years, just thinking, once I have that next job title, then I will feel good about myself. Once I'm making another 10 grand a year, then I'll be happy. Oh, I need to be a homeowner, so I need to buy a house, and then I'll be happy, right? I need an engagement ring, or else I can't possibly be happy. All these things. And one by one, they landed, you know, they happened. And that, just looking back, like, they didn't change how I felt internally. And even quitting my job, I really thought, once I quit my job and my dream comes true and I'm just an entrepreneur, I'll be so happy. And like, there is some truth to living with your purpose. Yes. The freedom. Yes. But I didn't feel happier internally, right? It's not, things outside of us aren't going to change our internal state. And I finally like realized it after I quit my job, like, oh, there's that thing again. And then I was watching a documentary. I think it was called Happy. I think it was the title. It's on Amazon Prime. It's so good. And it refers to that as the hedonic treadmill. And that's the term for people. We just adjust really quickly to changes in our life, good and bad. But that's why you think you need that bag, you get the bag, and then you, oh, now I need to go on this vacation. Oh, but then I can't be happy until I have this. That's the hedonic treadmill. We get stuck on that, thinking it's the next thing, it's the next thing. And finally, this year, I was able to kind of break that cycle and truly sink into happiness from within and like breaking away from the attachment to outcomes. And it's been so life-changing. Like, yeah, there's things I want to accomplish and there's different things I want to do and be and explore. But I know now that like they're not going to change how I feel.
Yeah. Oh, that's so powerful. I actually have goosebumps listening to you say that because it's true. We do try to look for external things to kind of fill this void. And really it's that just relationship with yourself, right? So let's stay on this topic because I think it's an important one. How, if you could give any advice to the listeners about how they could find this internal happiness, I'd love to explore that a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. That is essentially like what I pretty much teach now is that finding that within you, finding that confidence and happiness and inner peace within you that doesn't depend on outside circumstances or things going your way or whatever. I mean, obviously alongside manifestation, yes, like yes, map out the life you want and go get it, but realize it's not going to change your internal state. That is a whole separate thing. That also makes your manifestations happen faster. So they go together, but focusing on the inner happiness, really for me, what has shifted is mindfulness. So I have been meditating and teaching meditation for about 2.5 years now, big part of my life. But the more I dove into that and into mindfulness, I realized I could build on this inner peace, right? I would find inner peace during meditation and afterwards, but then I would go back into my day of fear-based thoughts, self-doubt, you know, all the things that come up. And so implementing mindfulness into my day looks like my intention is to let go of thought. My intention is not to live in my head, but to live in the present moment and to live in my experience of life. So I mean, everything that I do every day, now habitually, I'm just practicing letting go of thought. I'm catching myself very quickly in negative thought spirals, or I catch myself having a negative thought and I decide it's just a thought. I don't need to obsess over it. I don't need to make it mean anything. And that, was learned through increasing meditation and through just setting the intention to just like be mindful. So like going outside and just like looking at nature without using words, without using thought, but just observing and just being there and being in it, and just feeling it. And you can do that in a bunch of different areas of life in different ways, but you can train your mind. You can make it a habit to let go of thoughts. You're still going to have negative thoughts. They're going to be there. Fear is going to be there. Self-doubt, but you can train it so that in such a way that you're letting it go very quickly and you're filtering the thoughts so that you can decide which thoughts, oh, actually that is a download. I will take that download and I will go pursue that thing. Or you can be like, no, that thought doesn't feel good. It's just a thought. So I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to make it into a story. And then breath work has really, really helped with this too, because breath work is really powerful for releasing stuck trauma, stuck energy. It's kind of known for that in the spiritual community. It also has another healing element with our physical body, which is kind of separate. But, you know, it's known for this process of tapping into things deep inside of you to pull them out and release them. The thing that I think is maybe even a better benefit that people don't know about is like when you couple it with meditation, when you do the breath work and then directly you go into a meditation, you go deeper, and breath work shuts off the default mode network of the mind, which is like the overthinking, constant chitter chatter So you can go into a much more peaceful meditation. And through that, it just heightens your self-awareness. So it heightens your ability to allow yourself to not control thought, but control which thoughts you entertain, essentially.
No, I love that you spoke on that. I relate to that so much as well. I think we have similar stories in a sense that when I actually came into this world and I became like this spiritual, spiritual person, it started off with mindset for me and a way to actually, you know, get to know my mind and understand why I think the way that I do is meditation. So I started to meditate. It wasn't a spiritual thing when it first started for me. And I was meditating like a monk, like in the morning, in the at lunch, in the afternoon. It was crazy. I was spending majority of my day in meditation when COVID hit and we had to stay home basically. So it was ridiculous, right? So I spent all this time in meditation, and through that mindfulness work, I was able to actually detach from those thoughts. So when those like erratic negative thoughts would come up, I would usually identify with them and be like, oh my God, the anxiety, it's so bad. Yet when I did all this like work on myself and I was practicing meditation every single day, I was able to detach from that thought and not entertain it exactly how you're describing. So I think, yes, it's so important to have these habits that help you actually do that. So I love that you spoke on that. And breath work. So I do want to dive deeper into this, but breath work was a pivotal thing that I introduced into my life that completely changed the game for me. I think it was I haven't really spoken about this, but breathwork was a big part of my awakening. And I love that you mentioned doing breathwork before meditating, because that's what actually enhanced my spiritual experiences and my relationship to myself. I was able to have the most like profound meditations after doing breath work. The most insane things would happen. It was so funny because I'm all about setting intentions. So at this point, I was like, I wanted to do all the things. I was like, I want to try the plant medicines. I want to do this and I want to have all these cool experiences, but I didn't have access to it in Australia. So I was like, oh, and then I was led to breath work and I was like, ooh, what's this? You can have a psychedelic experience just off your breath. So then I got, I went really hard into breath work. At the start, I was only doing about like 20 minutes and then I would do the meditation and that was just enough for me. Just recently, when I say recently, I mean like a couple of months ago, I did like a proper an hour session with my friend nonstop breathing and it was, yeah, I understand now why people do the hour session. It was really hard to go through, but it was so releasing and it was insane. So how did you come to find breath work? How did you become a breath work? I can't speak. How did you become a breath work facilitator?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love hearing about your journey and your experiences. And I think it's so cool that you were like meditating that many times a day and just making it such a big part of your life. And I want to do that. But yeah, so with breath work, I mean, I discovered it 2 years ago, maybe. And sadly, this is the sad truth. I, at the time, felt like, oh, I want to do that. I want to become a facilitator. I want to make that part of my business. But you know, you have all these fear-based thoughts at the time. At that point in time, I didn't realize any new idea, any new thing that's outside of the comfort zone is going to come with fear-based thoughts. It's going to come with self-doubt. You could have a download of the most brilliant idea to like save the world and like you're gonna have self-doubt. Like, duh, like that's how our mind works. So at the time I, you know, said no to the opportunity to become a breathwork facilitator, but it kept coming back up over the past 2 years or whatever. It kept coming back up. But then I was also like finding all these other things. Like I was like, oh, I could do hypnotherapy or I could do human design. And then I chalked it up to like it basically became analysis paralysis. I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And how do I know which one's the right one? And which one should I do? Right. But when I got really deep into my, well, I would say like my third spiritual awakening was like last November, like maybe, I don't know, 9-10 months ago or however many months ago last November is. I was just breaking through into so much more awareness and just becoming something much more mindful and all of that. really solidifying like the hedonic treadmill thing, and just being, it just feels like, you know how an awakening is, it feels like a veil's lifted and you're like, wow, this is how life actually is. But it wasn't until, it's only been a few months that I've truly like been a certified facilitator and made it into, I've probably been doing it every single day or at least like 5 days a week since, let me think, maybe April.
Wow.
So how many months that is? I'm really bad at months. Is it like five?
I'm bad with numbers. It makes me anxious thinking about how many months that is. I'm like, I don't know. April.
But that's when I became a facilitator and just dove in like all the way and made it a daily part of my practice. And yeah, it's just been amazing.
That's incredible. That's so amazing. So did you, when you started practicing breath work, what do you actually found the benefits were? What do you find you could give your clients with breath work? Like, what does it do? Why should people do breath work?
Yeah, good question. It's hard to say the number one benefit. The number one benefit, well, I'll just name a few benefits. So self-awareness, I think, is one of the most important things we could possibly build, whether you're on a spiritual journey or not. The ability to be able to filter information coming in and be able to use your own intuition and not just believe every thought in your mind, and to not be totally identified with emotions is such a huge benefit. And that's really, I mean, when I'm teaching breathwork, that's kind of the focus. It's for you to go inward into your body, out of your mind, and also learn how you can identify feelings and emotions so that when you're in your everyday life, you're learning how to do that. So it's that, it's kind of like awareness positioning. And then the other part is it really helps to unblock and pull out stuck emotions. So like emotional debris and baggage. What we tend to do, if you'll notice, like we're in a stressed out, you know, culture, and we are very stressed out people, and we have a lot of anxiety, and you can feel it in your chest and your shoulders, right? Like when I was in corporate sales, I had like a lot of neck and shoulder pain. And I just thought, this is just what everyone has. This is just life, right? Life is stressful. I just said this was normal. Well, just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. And it wasn't normal, you know, so it was stress. It was stress and anxiety manifesting as physical pain in my chest and shoulders. And in our chest is our heart and our heart chakra and our emotional center. And so what we're doing is, you know, we're taught from a very young age to not feel our emotions, right? We teach children, do not feel your emotions. Let them like just stop crying. Don't, especially little boys, you know, just be a man or be a big girl and don't, you know, whatever. And then throughout life, we're just taught to suppress everything, to hold everything in. And so we're constantly just closing our heart, closing around those emotions and those energies. And so they're stuck in our heart center. And we can, not only can we bring them out through physical breath work. So breath work is essentially using the breath to purge that. And that's why sometimes you'll cry during breath work, right? Sometimes I'll have weird memories come up, like childhood memories. Sometimes I'll feel anger afterwards. So you're releasing, but then also through, breath work, if it's, you know, being taught in this way, or if you use it in this way, you're also practicing feeling your body and feeling your emotions and allowing yourself to feel how you feel. And when we do that, we're allowing the emotions to come up and leave our body, instead of what we normally do is we either just stop ourselves from crying, right? I used to never let myself cry, especially because I always wanted to cry at work and that was unacceptable. And then, you know, I used to come home from work and just like drink a glass or two of wine. I would binge eat. I had no idea why. This was all stress responses, right? It was me suppressing my emotions rather than letting them out. So yeah, in a society of people who are just deeply holding a lot of anger and sadness and trauma in our bodies, it's a powerful way to release that
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. So, how do you utilize breath work in your everyday life? Like, do you breathe for an hour every day? When you say that you've been doing it since April, so how long are you breathing for?
Yeah, so prior to breath work, I was meditating in the morning, maybe 20, 30 minutes, and then at night before bed, another like 20, 30 minutes. And then sometimes I'll sneak in an afternoon session too. So, but now I've just kind of, I do breath work in the morning, like 30 minutes, maybe 20, maybe 15, 20 minutes of active breathing, and then meditation afterwards. So that's kind of what I do in the morning. In the evening, I just meditate. So pretty much I just do breath work with my morning practice. And I love how it just sets me up for the day. It clears everything. And yeah.
I was doing it at night. I just like to kind of release. Maybe that's why, because of how you explained, it's the releasing of emotions. So maybe I just felt like I was actually releasing all of the emotions that I would have suppressed in that day. And then I was able to meditate at night, and it gave me the best sleeps as well. So that's awesome. And also vivid dreams. Have you noticed a change with dreams since practicing breathwork regularly?
Oh, I don't know. I've always had like pretty vivid dreams. But did you?
Yes, I did. I did have them. I had also set the intention, though, to remember my dream. So I was focusing intensely on them. And then I found that whenever I would do breath work at night and then go to sleep, it was like I was just in this movie. And that wasn't normal for me. I was that person that couldn't remember their dreams. Never had any sort of relationship with my dreams until I started doing breath work at night. And then I started to set the intention that I wanted to remember the dreams. But yeah, I was communicating to spirit a lot, which is awesome. So I was getting all these messages and downloads through my dreams. So it's a really powerful thing if you want to try that at home.
Oh my gosh, I'm definitely trying that. I love how you say you like set the intention to remember your dreams. It's amazing what can happen when we like give our mind, our brain a task, and it just does it in the background for us. I mean, that's so interesting.
Oh my God, I so agree. That's the one thing that I just stress so much, the power of intention. As soon as I say I'm going to do something or I want something, I am presented with the opportunity to then carry out that thing, regardless of what it is, good or bad. It is constantly like they're available for you as soon as you set the intention. So it's incredible the things that we can actually bring into our reality.
Yeah, that's amazing. It is so powerful. It's funny because I have to like, sometimes I forget to set intentions. And like for me, intention setting kind of goes along with prayer a lot of the time too. And lately I've just been like, okay, I need to just make this a regular thing. I'm setting the intention to set more intentions.
I love that. I know, you're right. It's so easy to forget. We're so easily like just forgetting that simple thing, yet it's just about coming back to the simplicity. I don't know. Humans like to overcomplicate everything.
Yeah, we absolutely do. That's right.
I wanted to get into the science behind breathwork because I know that that really can sometimes make it a bit more groundable for people. I know we spoke about it a little bit, but could we dive deeper into the science behind how breathwork is actually helping us both physically and emotionally?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of reflecting on how I mentioned like we're hunched over on our phones for one. And then also we harbor that stress and anxiety in our chest and shoulders. And, you know, that causes us to not breathe properly in everyday life. So we typically, the average person in a society like ours doesn't use their entire diaphragm when they're breathing. It tends to be shallow. And there's a lot of interesting studies around this too. Like, for people that have a stressful job, I guess it's like when you open an email, people tend to stop breathing and we don't realize we're doing it. Right. But we often, I've had, breathwork clients tell me like, yeah, their breath is really shallow, or sometimes they notice they're not breathing, especially in stressful situations. It's like the opposite of what we want to do. So it's really interesting because when you are doing the breathwork, the active, breathing, We're strengthening our respiratory system. We're strengthening our lungs. We're expanding our lung capacity. These things allow us to breathe more properly in everyday life. So making it a regular part of your routine, doing it, you know, if not daily, maybe a few times a week, right? It's training your body to breathe better. So like you'll often notice like that you're taking fuller breaths and you're just tuning into your breath more. And especially if you set an intention to take a few breaths throughout the day, right? And just like take a few breaths. It's really training the body to bring in more oxygen and cleanse your body out. It releases a lot of toxins. It re-alkalizes the blood. There's like a lot of health benefits that come with this. And sometimes like when I first was like telling my husband about these, when I was studying this, I'm like, oh my gosh, it helps with acne or like acne and like skin rashes and like, I can't remember what the word for it is, but like the skin rashes people get and like digestive issues, IBS and like all these things. And he's like, oh, okay. It's just like a cure all. And I'm like, okay, but this is my like way that I think of it. So, you know, we know the average person knows if you were sleeping 5-6 hours a night, you just weren't getting much sleep. It was pretty rocky. And you went from that to sleeping in a solid 8-8.5 hours, you'd have significant health benefits and mental health. That could help you with depression and anxiety. It could also heal insomnia. It could heal your digestive issues, right? It's incredibly powerful for, helping the body's immune system, just so many things. We're like, yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's kind of like that with the breath work. So if you're thinking of your breath and the average person's not breathing properly, not bringing enough fresh oxygen to oxygenate the cells, and then that person were to start breathing properly, it's going to have a similar effect because all of the systems in the body are connected, the respiratory system and the immune system and the cardiovascular system. Everything's connected. So when you're really strengthening that area, it's going to translate to a lot of health benefits throughout the body. So yeah, it's really powerful. It's funny because when I started studying breath work, I had no idea that it was a health thing. Like I didn't know you could heal illnesses and you could boost your immune response and through hormones that are secreted. Like I didn't know any of that. I literally just thought this was like a spiritual mindset sort of practice to clear emotions and traumas. So yeah, I love to like geek out on the science stuff too.
No, I love that. I love that so much. I mean, like the spiritual stuff is enough for me, but I know that some people need the the science behind it and the physical benefits. But thank you for sharing that. It is so powerful. It really, really is. It's actually reminding me of a quote when you were speaking. This quote was coming to my head and now I've forgotten it. Somebody, I don't know where it was from, but somebody had said the breath is like the portal to the spiritual world, or it's what connects you to the spiritual world. No, I've butchered the quote. Don't worry. but it is this idea that, yes, you can just even, you don't even have to actually practice breath work actively to get the benefits of learning how to breathe properly, like actually taking those deep breaths. And it's an awesome way to practice presence throughout your day, because I think throughout the day you can really lose yourself in situations and scenarios. And even while we were just talking about the breath now, I was like, oh wait, am I forgetting to breathe? So I was just taking a couple of deep breaths as well. So it's a beautiful way to just kind of ground yourself and really just, you know, start taking in those deep breaths. So yeah, I love that you spoke on that. It's breathing. We all have it available. It's the most constant thing that we have. It's the most reliable thing that we have. Yeah, it can change so much for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm curious what that quote is, but I think if it's like the breath is the portal to your spiritual, like it's true, because like that is kind of where it starts. I know not everyone is into meditating and not everyone starts with meditating, but that like breathing, like I don't know. I feel a very much a soul connection to breathe.
I do as well. What was it? Now I'm trying to think of the quote. It was like the breath is how you connect to your spirit, or the breath being your spirit. I don't know. Nah. I've completely butchered it. I can't remember for the life of me. I read it this week as well. Oh, that's going to annoy me now. I'm going to get off this and I'm going to be like looking for the quote. I'll send it to you if I find it. That's incredible. So do you do breath work with your partner as well?
No. So I have like a non-woo partner, which is okay, I think. And it's something I get asked about a lot. People always ask, like, how do I get my partner to believe in manifestation or believe in spirituality? And people are concerned and want to be on the same page with those things. But I honestly feel like it can be really powerful to be with someone who, like, you don't have everything in common, because I think it also, like, it reminds you a little bit to be open to other people, other opinions, other beliefs, expand your mind. But I will say, I mean, he's definitely come around over, I mean, so I've been with him for 10 years or more. So, and I've only been into spirituality for 2.5, 3 years, maybe. So, he's definitely come, you know, he obviously hears me talk about it, and he's definitely like, now, like, okay, well, like, he's like getting the manifestation. He's kind of like getting into it and like understanding a little bit more. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, he's not down for like the breath work. And
that's so funny. No, it's funny that you say that, because my partner is exactly the same. And it's actually interesting. I've been with my partner for 8 years, and only like a year and a half of that I have been spiritual and come out of the spiritual closet. We were actually both atheists, and we were bond over being atheists together. So when I had my spiritual awakening, I was just like, woo, everything's changed. It was a massive yet test in the relationship, I think, because you change so much during, you know, that's a decade you've just spent with somebody. So you guys change and grow so much. So yeah, no, I also get asked that as well, how to actually get your partner on board with what you're doing. And the biggest thing I learned in this world is that what made me so like such a believer of spirituality and just, you know, having it in my everyday life was that I wasn't forced, was that it was so natural. So if you're sitting there trying to force your beliefs onto someone, like, that's just already going to deter them, right? You can only just do what resonates with you, and he can only do what resonates with him. As long as he's still respecting you, or she's still respecting you, then that's the main thing, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because if we were going to like have a set of beliefs, of spiritual beliefs, and be like, I'm only going to hang out with people who believe the same things as me, and I'm going to try to like, you know, convince other people, well, then that's a religion. Like, that's kind of the opposite of spirituality, right? So I love that you put it that way, because that's important. But I think this is an important conversation. And like, it is hard, because that person does see you changing so much. And when your partner is changing, that's scary. And I know that for my husband, like, he definitely doesn't like when I change or when I start to be into something new. And it's something that a lot of people, I feel like, can relate to. But it's important not to be like forceful, and not to like just be so convinced that you're right about everything that the other person just needs to get on board. It's about like being open and intuitive and flowy with it, and just like letting it be okay when people don't get it.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I also experienced the same thing with my partner. He was scared about the change, you know, what's going to happen? Is she just going to completely like get up and leave me? And I think it's just as scary for them as it is for us going through it as well. And then like the being so different. But I think it's great to have a partner who is quite grounded in the physical, especially when you're doing this work that we're doing, where we're like living in the cosmos and, you know, meditating, mindfulness, because a lot of the time spiritual people are trying to like transcend into like another dimension or another reality. They don't actually spend time here on earth because they're trying to get somewhere else. And we actually came here to be humans. We came here to have a human experience. So it's so important to indulge in all the earthly things, right? So having a partner that isn't spiritual has actually been a massive blessing for me, because it reminds me to just like tap back into earth and just have fun, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love how you put that. That's so good. And it's so true. And yeah, I think it's funny, you said that you guys were atheists, and we were, my husband and I were both like raised Christian, and we weren't like super into it. Like, we didn't go to church or anything. We were Christians. And yeah, so it's interesting when you kind of do have this bond over a certain thing, and then you're like, whoop, nope. Like,
not for me. I love that. I love that. Right, it's so crazy how much our stories parallel. It's like freaking me out a little bit. Even it's so crazy. They're just so similar. I'm like, wow, I went through that. So let's jump into you do retreats, right? So you run retreats. Let's dive into that. What do they look like?
Yeah. So I just had my first retreat in April, or was it May? It was just, and I just had like kind of my like first tester retreat. So I brought my clients, I brought like a few past clients and a few current clients. And we went to, the Poconos, which is in my state here in the US, and it's just like mountains. And that was kind of geared towards entrepreneurship. So like they were all entrepreneurs and kind of doing some like business embodiment stuff. The retreat that I'm hosting in September in Sedona, Arizona, is a mindfulness and breathwork retreat. So it's 5 nights and it's breathwork, and it's really geared towards like, I don't want people on their phones. Like, I don't want us on social media. I want us like living in the moment, and I want people to leave feeling more, feeling like they can just be, and that's okay. I find a huge theme with a lot of my clients is that, just being doesn't feel okay. We have to be productive. We have to be doing. So that's kind of the focus, is like, we'll do breath work every morning. We'll do meditation and we'll do mindfulness. And that's probably going to be the theme of my retreats that I'll hopefully host continually. So yeah, I'm really excited about it.
That's incredible. Oh, it's so powerful to be doing the work with other like-minded people. First of all, you don't feel so crazy when you're with other women. And it's just powerful to be in that group energy and really just vibe off of each other. It would be so beautiful. And Sedona as well. Oh my God. I was just telling Leah that I'm jealous before we started recording. I want to be there so I could just join in on all of the fun. Whereas in Australia, we can't go anywhere right now. So I'm like,
Oh yes. I forgot. I don't know how I forgot that you're in Australia, but I wasn't connecting the dots, the how far away, and obviously with COVID and travel and stuff. But someday we have to meet in person, yeah. Because I'm just like loving your energy.
Someday. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I'm loving yours as well. No, someday I'm going to be in Sedona. I'll meet you there. We'll do it. I'm going to join your retreat. So, because you will definitely be doing them continually. That's awesome. And you also run breathwork as well online. So this is actually accessible to everybody. So you actually run live breathwork sessions, which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So 3 to 4 times a month, I do a group breathwork session online. So they're over Zoom and people can join from anywhere. But what I'm really excited about right now is I just opened up a breathwork membership site. So what I was finding was that some people come to the live ones and they like the live atmosphere and the accountability, but most people will end up watching the replays. And I definitely feel like a lot of people have been looking for consistency in their practice. So I opened up a membership program where you'll have like an online portal. It's called the Breath Portal. You'll have like an online portal of videos to watch and guided meditations all on there, but you can also come to the live classes too.
So. Oh, that's incredible. What a good idea. And what an awesome way to stay accountable, because I think it's really powerful to put yourself in a community, and even it's like paying for the gym, right? So you pay for the gym and it makes you accountable to keep going. So that's awesome. That's really, really good. I love the name Breath Portal. That is awesome.
Yeah. And it has a 7-day free trial. So anybody can come and check it out.
There you go. No, absolutely. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing on that. Well, I've loved our chat today. That's awesome. So if people wanted to maybe go to a retreat, if they're in Sedona or around there in the US, or wanted to join your membership, how do they connect with you? How do they find you online?
Yeah, so Instagram is kind of like my hub for everything. And my handle is It's Leah Pardy. So that's kind of where you can find me. My podcast is called Bare Naked Soul. And my website is just leahpardy.com. So that's where you can find everything.
Nice and easy. Love it. And how do you spell your last name?
It's P-A-R-D-E-E.
Perfect. Just for the listener's reference. And I will have this all linked in the show notes as well. But thank you so much, Leah. I learned so much through this chat. Thank you so much for, educating us on the power of breathwork and just telling your story.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.